As Pastor Denny has been sharing about unwrapping the gift over the past several Sundays, we come to a point where I wanted to make a statement. The gift is now open.
Amen.
And if the gift is open, what do we do and how do we respond? One, by understanding some of the details of the gift and then some of the actions we're called to. I'd like if you would take this opportunity to watch this video that will introduce us to this time.
So last year didn't turn out as you hoped. Things took a turn. A bump, a darkened sky. And at times it may have seemed there was no hope. But here's the good news. Our God is the God of fresh starts. Our God is the God of new beginnings. Our God brings new mercies, new compassions, not just once a year, not just when things are bad, but every single morning. This year has been tough. And for many of us, things will never be the same. But we are here, breathing, maybe smiling, or crying, or shouting, or laughing. But we are here, feeling, maybe fighting, or cheering, or seeking, or grieving. We are here, living. We are not alone. Our God is here. Our God is with us. And our God is the God of new creations.
Our God is the God of new creations. We are here. Some of you may have heard that phrase that says, success is 80% showing up. And so maybe that's how we would enter this new year that we are about to embark upon. Showing up. Showing up knowing that not only are we here, but God is with us along the way. And God is with us along the way because Jesus Christ is our greatest gift. Jesus Christ is our greatest gift. Over the past months, we've all been wrapping gifts, haven't we, and getting them together. And then over the last several days, I would believe that most of us were receiving gifts, giving gifts. How is it that we can enter a new year with the gift of Jesus? How is it that we can take a step into the unknown future with the gift of Emmanuel, God with us? How is it that we can face a world in front of us that... Well, have you seen the preparations that are taking place for the New Year's celebration in New York City that is happening tonight? Are those same preparations trickling down to having armed personnel locally at our own local celebrations? Well, what should be safe now needs to be secured. But we can enter a world like that because of the Prince of Peace, the one who has come to give us shalom. Now, there are some things that I want to tell you about this gift that helps us to approach the new year. The first thing that I want you to know is this. A gift, and you can look at your notes there. A gift, a perfect gift, must be personal. A perfect gift must be personal. How many of you gathered around a Christmas tree and your family was gathering there, and do you have a designated gift distributor in your family? Or do you all just rush in on the tree and grab? And isn't it true that that gift giver, distributor, at least in our family, this year was our granddaughter, Gwen, who was 7 years old. And she's just beginning to read. And so she would pick up a gift and everyone would say, well, who's it for? She didn't just go and give it to someone, anyone. She picked up a gift and she read the tag. And the name of the tag said that it was personal. It was a personal gift. It was something that was thought out, maybe because you had already given your list of what would you like to receive for Christmas. Or maybe it was a gift that was given because that person, the giver, knew you deeply. Think of it. How did God figure out what to give you? Now we might say that that gift, that personal gift, if the gift is Jesus Christ, and it is to everyone, as in John 3:16, it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's a gift given to the whole world. How can that be personal? Well, let me ask you to consider this. How do you know Jesus? In the Bible readings of the past week and month that we've had, Jesus is many different names, as Pastor Denny has shared with us. And so is it too much to think that the same God, the same Savior of the world, comes to each of us in a personal way? Isn't that why we have to say you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? There's something to be said to having that relationship, relating on a one-to-one or a one-to-God relationship, so that for some of us, he's Almighty God. For others, he's the Prince of Peace. Maybe for others, he's the Wonderful Counselor. He comes to you in a personal way. The second thing that describes a perfect gift is that it is given to meet a specific need. I don't know about the rest of you, but I count on getting gifts that I've given hints or outright directions. My brother-in-law yesterday, we get together and all. You need to know Wes. Wes is a computer engineer type of thing, very direct and very detailed oriented. He gave, with his list, he gave the serial barcode of the item that he wanted. And that thrilled my sister-in-law, who got his name because Wes has some very specific ideas of what a gift is all about. And so she knew that if she could find this barcode at Lowe's and the specific, you know, code and everything there, well, he was just going to be one happy camper. And he was. A gift is given for a specific need. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, we find these words. The last phrase, it says, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Wow, what a perfect gift. Before we even ask, before we hand the barcode over to the list of the family there, God already knows what we need. And sometimes He knows what we need when we don't even know what we need. Let me illustrate that. My wife is the clothier, if that's a word, of our family. She knows when I need some new clothes. She knows when I need some new shoes or a new shirt or something before I even need it, because, you know, I probably could wear the same shoes, the same shirts. Are you wearing that again? She says. Well, I didn't even know I had to wear something different. It was comfortable, you know, and these shoes, I've had a pair of shoes that I finally have semi gotten rid of. I've at least gotten them down to the basement. I bought them when I was in college, you know, 40 years ago. They were hiking boots. They were the best hiking boots that I could have. I did a lot of camping with them and hiking the trip, backpacking with them. But finally, the soles were wearing out so that the little steel that held them there were starting to come through. And in our house, we have hardwood floors. It is not good to walk through across hardwood floors with these little things. You know, we almost created a no-shoe policy in our house because of, but so she knows before I even know. She knows I need, well, that might be a far stretch, but do you understand the point? God knows you, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and He knows that the perfect gift that you need is because it is to meet a specific need. Sometimes we arrive at this point in time in our year thinking about what resolutions are we going to make. We often make resolutions because we believe we need something in our life. There's something that needs to be changed, needs something that needs to be attained. I want you to ponder what it is that is your specific need for the new year. And to realize that God is there to help meet your needs. The next thing that a perfect gift must be is it must be sacrificial. I hope I don't step on anyone's toes at this point, but I've been watching some Hallmark movies. My wife wants me to sit with her and watch some Hallmark movies. It's amazing how many of the plot lines that go in these Hallmark movies, there is some business person, man or woman, who is just so caught up in their career that they have an assistant that goes out and gets the gift for them because they don't have the time. It would be too much of a sacrifice if they themselves would go out and get a gift. But if we think about it, a perfect must be sacrificial. It needs to cost you something. And I'm talking about finances. Because gifts are not, the worth of a gift, the value of a gift is not determined by its financial cost. How many of you have received a homemade gift ever? Where you knew that that person labored for hours upon hours to make this gift for you. Here's one. Grandchild. A grandchild could come and they could give you a gift that they bought at a store. Or what if they took time to color that picture? That perfect picture. The picture that they labored over and sweated over and put their heart and their soul into it. And then they wrapped it up, not so neatly, but they wrapped it up and they gave it to you. Which is of more value? A gift that's just pulled off a shelf, or the gift where they poured themselves into it and gave it to you? That's what Jesus did. Hey guys, I'm sorry, I walk around, I just noticed there. I walk around and get out of focus and all of that, but anyway. A gift needs to be sacrificial. Do you remember the story of the Magi? The gift of the Magi tells a story of a young couple who couldn't afford really anything. But they wanted to give something to their spouse, the other person. And so they found a way to give a gift. The man, a pocket watch, his prized possession. The woman, her beautiful hair. And they sacrificed these things in order to purchase the gift to their beloved. What sacrifice does God give? Here's a quote. Well, when God gave us his only son, he broke the record when it comes to sacrificial giving. For no one has ever paid more for a gift than God did when he gave his only son to pay our debts. In scripture, in 1 John chapter 2, it says, Christ is the sacrifice that takes away our sins and the sins of all the world's people. So a perfect gift needs to be personal, it needs to meet a specific need, and it needs to be sacrificial. And now that we've got this perfect gift, what do we do with it? Well, the first thing we do is we open the gift. There was a story about a family. They had twin boys. And the only resemblance to each other were their looks. They were opposite in every way. One was the eternal optimist. The other was the eternal pessimist. The gloom and doom. just to see what would happen on Christmas Day. Their father loaded the pessimist's room with every imaginable toy and game, and the optimist's room he loaded with horse manure. That night, the father passed by the pessimist's room and found him sitting amid all of his new gifts, and he was crying bitterly. "Why are you crying?" the father asked the pessimist. "Because my friends will be jealous and I'll have to read all these instructions before I do anything with this stuff. I will constantly need batteries and my toys will eventually get broken," said the pessimist twin. Well, passing the optimist twin's room, the father found him dancing, you know, the happy dance, the dance of joy there, and he was dancing around this pile of manure. "What are you so happy about?" the dad said. And the optimist twin said, "There's got to be a pony around here somewhere." We've got to open the gift. It's not just enough to let that child in a manger. It's not just enough to let the Jesus in the book. We've got to open that gift and have Jesus in our heart and to impact our lives and our actions and our activities. We've got to open the gift. There's a story in Acts chapter 16. And it talks about these persons who were in jail, and the earthquake came and the doors opened up. And the jailer, it says, the jailer awoke and he saw the open doors to the prison and he thought that the prisoners had escaped. And, you know, in that opening, he said to himself, "I am in deep trouble." And he was about to kill himself when he heard a voice in the back and said, "No, don't do it." This jailer's life was opened in a new way. It was open to the possibility of God working in a way he had never fathomed. We've unwrapped many, many gifts, but how many of you have left the gifts in the package? "Oh, that's a beautiful box. Don't open it," you know? No. You get the gift, you unwrap the gift, and you open it up, and you begin using it. And that's the next thing that I want to know. Not only do we need to open the gift, but we need to use the gift. There's a story told about using the gift. The boy says, "Thanks for the electric guitar you gave me for Christmas." Little Chris Cody said to his uncle for the first time after he saw him after the holidays, "It's the best present I ever got." "That's great," said his uncle. "Do you know how to play it?" "Oh, I don't play it," he said. "My mom gives me $1 a day not to play it. And my dad gives me $5 a week not to play it at night." Now, he's not using the gift. He's making some money, yeah, but he's not using the gift. When God gives us a gift, he wants us to use it, to put it into action, to make it real in our lives. So we open the gift, we use the gift. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 10, we find these words. And would you read this with me? "Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gift well." Did you catch those highlighted words? We have been given a gift to be used and to be used for a purpose. When we look at this new year that's coming up, I would hope that we would understand and have a good understanding of our purpose for living, our purpose for being, our purpose for being around. Because it is my opinion and my experience that when I know my purpose, when I'm acting on my purpose, I have greater satisfaction. And it's even truer to say this, is that when we know we are doing God's purpose, when we have hooked our lives, attached our lives to something, to someone bigger than ourselves, we will have satisfaction in our lives. Third thing I want us to know is that after we have opened the gift and used the gift, we need to take care of the gift. Have you ever had someone who has opened a gift at Christmas time, they've looked at it, they've opened up the box, and then they just throw it? And you were the giver? And you're wondering, what is going on here? If that's the way they're going to treat the gift, we might as well just take it back. There's a story about Roy Collette taking care of pants. He was not looking forward to getting for Christmas these pants. Yet he knew he was in trouble as soon as a flatbed truck bearing a concrete-filled tank of a truck was used to deliver this ready-mix rolled-up concrete. And he knew what was inside this concrete container. It was these pants. See, he and his brother had this friendly, brotherly competition. 20 years before this, they gave them a pair of pants. And after a few times of wearing them, he found out that they froze stiff in the Minnesota cold air. I don't know about you, but if you have ever had pants that have frozen and you've tried to, they chafe just a bit. They're pretty uncomfortable. Well, that was when they began to give these pants back and forth to one another, wrapped in ingenious ways. And this year, found that the pants were on the inside of this concrete slab. The rule was is that you could give the pants in any container, in any way, as long as you didn't damage the pants. So Roy had to figure out how to get the pants out of that concrete without damaging them so that he could then send them back to his brother-in-law. They had to be legal and moral ways. One time they were mounted on the inside of an insulated window that had a 20-year guarantee on that window. Another time, they stuffed them into a 5-inch coffee can, which he soldered shut, and the can was put in a 5-gallon container filled with concrete and reinforcing rods. The third time, that man made a 225-pound steel container, like a homemade ashtray. And well, you can go on and on. The whole object was is that they had to take care of pants. They had to take care of that gift. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, It says this, "So I ask you to make full use of the gift that God gave you." So you open it, you use it, and when I place my hands on you, use it well. Take care of it. What is the gift that God has given to you? How are you treating that gift? Are you using it well? Or have you laid it aside? And it's actually decaying because of inactivity or non-use. Our vision here at First Church is this: opening doors with Christ, with one another, and with our neighbors. We are given this way of using and taking care of God's gift, of opening it to others so that others might know of God's gift for us. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it said this, "These are written that you may believe." When we join in the scripture reading starting tomorrow, these words are given to us so that we might believe, that we might have confidence, that we might have trust in Jesus Christ. So what happens? Do you remember the Christmas carol with Scrooge in it? He was an old miser. And finally he was taught the new meaning of Christmas. He had faced his past as we are looking at our past year. He was looking at the present as we have looked at the surrounding days. But he also faced the future. And in doing so, he came to understand the true meaning of the gift of Christmas. And oh, what an amazing difference it made in his life. And my brothers and sisters, I challenge you today to understand that personal meeting specific needs, sacrificial gift. And I challenge you today to open that gift, to use that gift, and to take care of it. And my, what are the possibilities for our new year together? And maybe we will experience God opening doors to His Son. Maybe we will experience God opening doors with one another. And maybe we will understand God opening doors to the neighbors around us. Amen.